You may recall a story we had on Blueprint for Living earlier this year, when we talked about the redesign of the traditional food pyramid. There were two big stories in the redesign of the food pyramid. The first was once again the Negroni being overlooked for its rightful spot at the base of the pyramid. But the other big story was about legumes. Apparently legumes are all the rage. They'd finally earned their spot up there beside vegetables. And want to understand more? I'm in a test kitchen in the Sydney suburb of Rosebery with a woman who is the full bottle on the legume. Chrissy Freer is a nutritionist and her book Super Legumes is out this month. So while we talk today and while you're going to talk me through the virtues of the legume and why they deserve their place on the pyramid, you're actually going to demonstrate it for me as well. You're going to show me how to up my intake.
Yeah, I'm actually making a salad for you today that has adzuki beans, which you may or may not have heard of.
Talk me through the adzuki. So are they the small brown beans that I see over there?
They are. They originated in Asia, but they're a small sort of reddish-brown bean. When they're dried, they actually have a really distinctive little white stripe on the back of them, which actually disappears once they're cooked.
And so how are the adzuki most typically used? Are they made into dips and things, or are they used generally in salads?
Look, they're quite versatile. You can use them. They're quite similar in flavour to, say, like a red kidney bean. So they can be used in soup, salads, casseroles, curries, and they're actually traditionally used in a lot of Asian desserts, like the sweet bean cakes.
I'm always suspicious of a bean in a cake, but is that just me being small-minded?
Look, I actually did a few baking recipes in the book that were amazing using beans, some brownies and even a chickpea and mandarin cake that was amazing.
That does sound extraordinary. My grandfather, the first time he ever tasted chickpea, said how much he liked the soft macadamia nuts, which I didn't really want to correct him. So tell me, the legume is a vegetable technically, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. It actually, legumes are quite unique in the fact that they fall into two of the main food groups. So they're so nutritious that they're actually considered members of two food groups. So they're a member of the vegetable group and they're also a member of the high protein group, which includes meat, nuts, tofu and the like.
Excellent. So you are now chopping some broccolini alongside the green bean. This is already, I'm kind of salivating at this. Did I read correctly somewhere that the lupin is a legume?
Yes, lupins are. They're probably one of the lesser, not well-known members of the legume family, but they're highly nutritious. And in fact, they're probably, I think they're sort of starting to gain some of the recognition they deserve. They're traditionally used a lot as stock feed.
You're making that sound appetizing. That's a hard sell for the lupin.
And they have been used in Mediterranean diets for centuries, but they're starting to be used in Australia and they're incredibly high in protein, about 40%, really high in dietary fibre, around 30%, and some people are touting them as being sort of the next soybean.
Do they have a bad rap? Like, you know, a lot of people seem to be concerned about how to prepare a legume, whether they might have dietary side effects of different sorts. Talk us through that.
Look, some people do get concerned that they can have some digestive issues with legumes, and there's things that you can do to avoid that. So you've got to rinse. You need to rinse them before you cook them. You need to rinse them after you cook them. If you use tinned, rinse them really thoroughly, and that gets rid of some of the excess starch or sugar that causes the digestive discomfort. And then the other thing is, if you're not used to eating legumes, introduce them gradually to your diet. Like most things, the human body adapts amazingly well. So if you introduce them gradually, your body will adapt.
Are the tinned ones, do they have the same kind of level of nutritional benefit or do they lose all kinds of goodness?
No, look, there's negligible difference between in nutritional content between tinned and cooking from dry. The main point of difference is the sodium content, and they really do vary in sodium, so it's you need to look for those with a low sodium or no added salt.
I'm gonna stop you talking and let you keep making this amazing looking salad for a tick.
Okay. Blanching some green beans and broccolini, and I'm also going to put some freka in the salad.
Talk me through freka, because I eat it in tabbouleh and stuff, but I've never cooked with freka.
Look, freka is green wheat, so it's wheat that's picked while it's still really immature and young, and for this reason it's actually higher in various nutrients than regular wheat. And you can buy it either whole as a whole grain or cracked, which is still a whole grain, but it's just been literally cracked into smaller pieces, which means that it cooks a lot faster, so it can cook in literally 15 minutes, and it's a fantastic salad grain. It's really nutty. It's got a beautiful texture. I love it in salads. Also makes fantastic stuffing.
Beautiful. Frica stuffing sounds like a very good idea. So that's now going in with the beans.
That's right. And then I'm going to add some red cabbage as well, finely shredded. I better take these off the heat.
That's blanching enough.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So after you've blanched the veggies, if you just rinse them under cold water, it sort of halts the cooking process and stops you from losing too many nutrients.
Okay, so back to the red cabbage.
Finely shredded red cabbage. And I also like to add some currants because it just gives a little bit of sweetness to the salad, which with the nuttiness of the grain is really delicious. And also some natural almonds, just a rough chop. Because a good salad should have a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of crunch. I'm going to put some currants in. And I like to use natural almonds. You could use blanched or slivered or flaked, but I think natural have got a bit more flavour.
In the mixing bowl here, and the blanched vegetables haven't joined the mix yet, but the colours of the kind of the earthy colours of the frica and the nuts, and then the beautiful, vibrant purple of the cabbage, and then the dark currants. This is picture perfect. I can see you've spent the whole day getting things ready for photo shoots.
We do indeed. And then every salad should have fresh herbs in it. I use fresh herbs and spices a lot in my cooking because it's such an amazing way to add flavour without adding, you know, unnecessary fat or sodium. And yeah, so you can never use too many fresh herbs. I'm adding some mint and chives.
As the sprigs come off, the smell is just explosive. That is very nice, fresh mint.
So we'll add some chives. I really love using chives in salads because they're just so much milder than onion, but they still give that little bit of bite without the, yeah. I'm not a big fan of raw onion, but I find chives in salads are just delicious.
Chives, red cabbage, currants, almonds, frica and mint at the moment in there, and the blanched vegetables.
Don't forget the adzuki beans.
Oh my God, we're doing a segment on legumes and
don't
I forgot to mention
the beans.
That's embarrassing, Chrissy. I'm so sorry. I left out the entire point of the exercise, the poor old adzuki beans.
And look, you could easily substitute any other type of tinned legume in this recipe or cooked legume. So, you know, chickpeas would work really well, lentils, red kidney beans, even black beans would be delicious.
And overcome the blanched veggies.
Put the veggies in. And then I'm just going to put a little bit of olive oil. Normally I'd measure that, but, you know, we're just going a bit freestyle.
We're mavericks in here.
Some black pepper, a little bit of sea salt. You know, this is really substantial enough to serve as a main meal. I don't, you know, especially with the combination of the beans and the grain, it's providing a complete protein, plus the nuts for a little bit of extra protein. It's really quite a, you know, substantial meal.
Absolutely delicious.
But likewise, you could easily add, you know, if you wanted to add some grilled lamb or some chicken, that would also work equally as well.
And as it mixes in, that purple of the red cabbage is just so vivid in the middle of that mix.
Yeah, I love using red cabbage actually as a salad leafy vegetable. It works really well. But yeah, as you mentioned before, with the food pyramid, it's really exciting that vegetables are now on the bottom tier, with the group that we should be eating the most out of, and legumes are included in that group. As I mentioned before, you know, legumes fall into both being both a vegetable and a high-protein food. And we should be eating at least 5 serves of veggies a day, so it makes sense that we should be including more legumes in our diet.
Well, Chrissy, you've convinced me both in the demonstration of them and in the kind of singing the praises of them. I am going to be leguming it up both immediately and in the longer term. So thank you so much for sharing that with me today.
Oh, thanks so much for chatting with me.
Chrissy Freer is the author of Super Legumes, and that recipe for the salad is going to be up on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website. Coming up, we're staying in the world of health and we're asking whether yoga's lost its om. But before we get there, we're getting to the healthiest city in the world. We're going to Glasgow.